Thank you. It's great to be with you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit about the work of ACRI Gospel Mission, ACRI International, or ACRI, as the farmers call us. Thank you for praying for us. I know many folk here pray for the work of ACRI, and we really do appreciate that. Hopefully this will come up in a minute or two. We're going to read together, just before we do, from a very well-known passage of scripture, maybe not read in a missionary context or missionary meeting, but something that's really been in my heart for a number of weeks now. It's found in Luke chapter 16. I'm beginning to read together at verse 19 of the chapter. Luke chapter 16, and commencing to read at verse 19 of the chapter. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was led at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. But he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, then they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, then, there we know that God will bless his word to your hearts this morning. Just in reading those verses, God has been very much challenging my heart recently, just with those words, send Lazarus, or send someone. If we're to take time and speak in this morning, we see the two men in this life. One man that had got everything, but yet possessed nothing. Another man who had got absolutely nothing, yet he possessed everything because he possessed eternal life. We see the two men in the next life, don't we? It tells us that the beggar died and was buried. It tells us that he was carried to Abraham's bosom. It also tells us that the rich man died and was buried. But it goes on to tell us that in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You see, hell is a real place this morning. It's something that maybe we don't hear preached about very often today, is it? Because so often we're afraid of offending people. But yet, just as heaven is real, so hell is real. And as you look at the pictures on the screen today, and we talk about people, and you see some of these pictures, you'll see people this morning who are on their way to a Christless, eternal hell. Outside the doors of this church this morning, across the street, and in the streets around here, there are people that are going to a Christless hell. It's real. And the challenge that's come to my heart is, send someone. But this morning, are we willing to go? Whether it's across the street or whether it's across the world, will we say afresh in our hearts this morning, Lord, here am I. I maybe can't do very much, but Lord, here's my life. I want to say thank you to so many people who pray for the work of ACRI. We appreciate that. We look back over 81 years, not getting into all the stories of the past, but we look back over 81 years and we give thanks to God for what God has done and for the lives that have been reached. The word on the screen reminds us in Romans 10, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Send someone. This picture just shows some of our workers, whether in Brazil or Portugal or the Canary Islands, just some of those that we support month by month, those that we pray for, and again, financially look after in the work. And we're so thankful for all of these workers, whether the national pastors in Brazil or those in Lanzarote or those in Portugal, we thank God for them. And as most of you will know, our work is in Portugal, Brazil, started in Brazil, then went to Portugal, then Lanzarote, and then, of course, here at home in Northern Ireland. So fasten your seatbelts very quickly. I'm going to have to talk very fast this morning and take you around the world and just share a few points of what the Lord is doing in the various mission fields that we're in. We're very thankful for the work in the south of Portugal and the Algarve. Mark and Judith Loney, Barry and Raquel Henry, and Glenn Bowden are serving the Lord there. The picture in the bottom shows you our mission conference just back there in April, May time, whenever Victor and Karen and I went over and were able to have time with the workers there, share with them, let them share their burdens and concerns and so on with us, a time of great fellowship. The church there in the Algarve, the International Evangelical Church of the Algarve, is where Mark and Judith Loney work. They're responsible for the international side of the work. Barry and Raquel Henry are responsible for the Portuguese side of the work. It's an afternoon service, and then, of course, all the activities through the week with that. And Glenn Bowden's responsible for the youth ministry there. Do pray for them, that the Lord will continue to lead them and guide them and direct them as they serve the Lord there in that part. The church itself has been doing a lot of work recently. They reformed this old building here, which was the rat house, we called it, into a lovely hall, as you can see in the bottom picture. They use this for their hall now. They have their Bible study there. They have the Portuguese service there because there's about 50 go to the Portuguese service. It's growing. But in the huge church, it looks so tiny with 50, or it looks so big with 50 people sitting in it. So they use the hall here, and it's full on a Sunday afternoon of people there. As I said, they're doing a lot of work around the church. The old threshing floor, they've made that into an amphitheater, and they do lots of activities out there. And of course, with the warm weather there, you can go outside and have your meetings out there. And then the bottom picture shows you rocks and so on. And Mark has a real vision to do something. He was a horticulturalist before he went into the mission, and he's a real vision to do something with the gardens there at the Algarve Church and to make it into a Bible garden. And his ideas are great, and that's in the process of being done at the moment. And of course, as a tourist attraction in the Algarve, to get folk in under the sound of the Word of God. They have camps in the summertime. They had 270 children at camp this year. They come from mostly around the Algarve, but there are many different nationalities. I think 14 different nationalities were represented at camp this year. They come from the rich end of society. One of the boys who comes, his father, is a billionaire diamond miner. That wee boy's not saved. His towel is a Louis Vuitton towel that cost 500 euro. Anybody got one of those? No? His backpack is a Louis Vuitton backpack that was 1,000 euros. So he deals in that kind of stuff, okay? Maybe some of you ladies have got a Louis Vuitton handbag. I don't know. We'll check on the way out today and see. But that's the type that come. And then from the other end of society, the children that come from the Bernardo's home with a little plastic bag with a few things in it. But you know, all those children have something in common, don't they? Because they all need the Lord. And that's the opportunity they have at camp, to share the gospel with the kids. They have lots of fun as well, as you can imagine, but to share the gospel with the children. Lorna Jones, a girl up in the top right-hand picture there. Lorna Jones is from Belfast. She's come with us many times to Fatima on the teams there, but she was teaching at the junior camp this year. And one of her great burdens was that we're talking to the children about children having Bibles, because a lot of those children that come, majority of them don't have the Word of God. And so her burden was that she would be able to give a Bible to every single child at the end of camp. She prayed about it. She didn't tell anyone. Someone came to her one day in the church and said, "There's a gift for you. I don't know what it's for, but the Lord has led that in my heart to give you that." And it was £500. She said, "But the Lord has told me what it's for." And well, she had to get a bit more than that, but she was able to buy Bibles, and every single child, nearly 100 children at the junior camp, all went home with a copy of the Word of God for themselves. That's probably the only copy of the Word of God that's in their homes. Will you pray that God uses his seed to speak to the hearts of their parents, children? Not only reaching parents, or reaching children, but reaching parents and families and further afield, like ripples in the pond. And we look to God to continue to bless in that. Whenever we were there, we went to a town in eastern Algarve on the border of Spain called Castellas. And there again, tremendous need. There are two couples with Karen and Mark and I in this picture. They're called Tony and Sylvia, and Mervyn and Joan. And they're both English couples who retired. You see, whenever you retire, it's not the end, is it? You're listening now. It's just the beginning. Now, you'll all want to go to Portugal and live there, but these two couples, they left England. They came to Portugal to live. One lives in the town of Castellas here. The other one lives just in the next town over on the border of Spain. But they came because they wanted to evangelize and share the gospel with people. They can't speak Portuguese, but Tony speaks to everybody. He's a Cockney from London. You know that the Heist, or that new film that's come out there recently about the bank robbers? Well, he was friendly with all those men before he was saved. That's the type of man that he is. And everybody in the town knows him. He says hello to everybody. He waves at them. He blows kisses, and they were blowing kisses back at him. His wife even allowed it. But he has a real burden that God will move in that town. He gives clothes to the poor. He gives food parcels to the poor people. God willing, in October now, Mark Loney and Barry and Glenn and one of the other guys, Richard from the church, they're going to be going and they're going to be doing Bible studies every week, one of them each week, in the town of Castellas. The mayor of the town's very friendly with Tony and said to him, if you want a room, if you want a hall, we'll give you one. And he took us into a hall nearly the size of this church and he said, would this be big enough? I said, well, maybe not to start with, but hopefully it'll be big enough or too small someday to get people in. Pray that God works in the town of Castellas. We have just accepted by faith another young couple into the mission. They're moving over next year in June to Portugal. They're called Andrew and Kim McCormick from Belfast. And they're going over to work, to first of all do language school, but then to work and church plant in these eastern Algarve towns. It's not like the Algarve you think of, lying on the beach and all there. They're very Portuguese towns. And with great, great need. Further up in the Alentejo is Geraldo and Emanuela Ares and Jeffrey Ferguson, who are serving the Lord there. It's a very different type of work than the Algarve. It's difficult. It's hard. There's over 10 million people in Portugal. Less than 1% are evangelical. Did you hear that? Over 10 million people, less than 1% are evangelical. Send someone. And these times are difficult. Pray for them as they work in the little church there in Santo André. Amazing how God provided this building a few years ago for the work. Amazing to see what God has been doing there. This church building is right next door to Lidl's in the center of the town. Now, every time you go to Lidl's, maybe you all go to Marks and Spencer's here, but whenever you go to Lidl's to do your shopping, I want you to think of the wee church in Portugal, will you, and pray for it. People are very skeptical of the gospel here. They have no time for the gospel. They have no time for religion, many of those people. They're in darkness, but God's able to change lives. They're building at the minute, they're building a wall around the grounds. You can see at the top picture, there's a big piece of soil there, and they're building a wall around that. We hope to have camps. We hope to have football camp there next year. We're hoping to have beach missions over there as well, God willing, next year. And we've lots of activities planned. We're actually going over, Karen and myself and a few other couples are going over just before Christmas time to do a Christmas outreach this year. Geraldo sent his prayer letter through the other day. He says, and they're going to be singing outside all the supermarkets. Well, it's the first I'd heard of it. But anyway, maybe you could come and join us for that. We thank God for the youth ministry they've had, and this is a special youth meeting recently. Now you look at this and say, there's a great crowd of young folk. Folks, that is revival in Portugal. It's revival to have so many in the church. Revival. We're thanking God for this and for the other outreaches with the young people they've planned for the year ahead. Of course, different forms of outreach in the church. They have door-to-door ministry where we, whenever we take teams over as well, we do into the villages and we put literature in every home. That's one of the great burdens that we have. Every home crusade, of course, send the literature for us. The little Boa Semente calendars, there's 8,000 of those that have arrived at Araldo's house last Wednesday. They will go to Fatima now, most of them, and then given out around the people there. And the market stall at the bottom, the big gypsy market is right next door to Lidl's. And what an opportunity for reaching people. And they have a stall outside the church, or literature, and they give free tea and coffee and cake out to try and reach people and get the gospel over to them. Many of you have heard us, and many of you have prayed for Fatima. And of course, Stevie has been and others have been with us on the teams there to Fatima. Our team are going next week. They're going on Sunday, next Sunday, traveling across the team from here to Fatima. And of course, that's just some of the crowd there. Last year, there was 1.5 million there when we were there because the Pope was there. And what an opportunity for us to give out literature. Hundreds of thousands of pieces of literature into the hands of people. Who knows what one tract will do as it goes across the world? We have to believe God, don't we, for one single tract, reaching into a life and reaching a community for Christ. And please pray for the team as they go. I won't be going on this team, but pray for the team as they go that God will go before them and that they will see a real work done for the glory of God and the salvation of precious souls. Only eternity will ever reveal, I believe, all that's been done there over the last number of years. Pray for Portugal. Very quickly, Lanzarote. Do pray for the work there. Just back in the summertime, we had opportunity of going over with a team. This is not all the team in the picture because Karen came a few days later with some more of the team. They couldn't all go together because of work commitments and things, but we're very thankful for the team we had. Ricardo and Sandra, it's our pastor and his wife there in the church in Lanzarote. The church is growing there. It's a moving church. People come for work to Lanzarote and then they're working there for a few years and then they're moving away again. So it's a moving church quite often. But it's amazing to see what God is doing and lives that are being transformed for the glory of God there in the little church. And do pray that God will bless Ricardo and Sandra and give them help as they share the gospel and so many outreaches throughout the week that they have. We did our very first children's camp there this year. You see, I believe, I'm sure many of you believe the same, that through reaching the children, we're reaching the families, reaching into lives. The Word of God says a little child shall lead them. And so we talked about it last year and we planned our children's camp. Now, Sandra and Ricardo were very skeptical of it all. Will it work? Who's going to help us? What's going to happen? They tried to do one years ago and it didn't work because it was only two or three leaders. You can't do a camp with two or three leaders. And so we had a group of young people from here. We had 12 of us going out. And I have to say, those young folk were fantastic because most of them had been to the CEF training course down in Coquille. Young folk go to the training course. If you don't go, it's fantastic. And they were able to teach memory verses and teach Bible lessons and everything else. It was great that Karen and I could sit back and let them do the work. But it was fantastic just to listen to them and see the way they could teach because they'd been to the training courses. And as I say, a brilliant camp. You might look at that and say, Acree's gone mad because there we are with crucifixes up. But we had to use, for a camp centre, we had to use the Catholic Retreat Centre. It's the only place to have camp in Lanzarote. There's nowhere else. Ricardo asked if we could take the statues down and the crucifix, and the priest went berserk and said no. So he wanted to cover them up with a blanket, and the priest said no. So we turned the chairs the other way around that we didn't have to look at them. But we just pray that something of our influence and the presence of God in that place spoke to the caretaker who was there. We never saw him, but there was a caretaker there that God spoke to him. We left literature about the place as well, that people would pick it up and read it. We had a family service on the Sunday morning at camp. The church in Arrecife, they all came up to the camp center. It was amazing to have parents there of the children who have never been in the gospel service before. We showed them what we were teaching the children, memory verses, quiz, all that with the family service. Simple word of God from Luke chapter 15, the three lost things. Tremendous to see the parents interacting with us afterwards, talking to us, thanking us, and being content that the children were there with us because we had 25 children, 16 of those children weren't saved. What a mission field. We had, of course, all the activities of camp, the meetings. We had devotions in the morning and evening. We had our meetings as well, morning and evening. We taught Bill Wood's story in the evening, the missionary story. The kids were just so enthralled by it all and listened so well. And you know, sword drill, Sandra said it's not going to work here because they don't know the Bible. They don't even have Bibles. So we give them all Bibles, those that didn't have one. And we used one book of the Bible. So we showed them where the Gospel of John was, and all the sword drills were out of the Gospel of John. And then we did the Gospel of Luke. And then, of course, they got to know the Bible. And you want to see them fighting nearly to get those verses and get up to the front. They wanted to win. Amazing to see that. Teaching them the Word of God. We had lots of crafts as well. They were for a reason, the T-shirts. Robin Fields actually gave them to us. There was 80 of them. And we were able to put a design on the T-shirts. So we had a competition. But we also had to have a Bible verse on them, because that was going back home with them. We went to IKEA and we bought dinner plates at 50 cents each. We designed those, but we put a verse on them because that was going back home with them. We did a little picture frame and put one of the memory verses that we're learning in that. And that was going home with them. So it was getting the Word of God into their homes. Pray that God speaks through that. The only outing they had, they're not very fussy there, the kids. Anything pleases them. The only outing they had was to the bomberos, to the fire brigade. And they were enthralled by this, getting in to see the fire engines and trying on the firemen's clothes and the helmets and all that. Boy, they loved it, the kids. And they all came home with a wee plastic helmet for themselves and colouring books and everything else. But as a gift to the fire brigade, we made them a special plate with a verse on it and a text as well, and a frame and a thank you for them, just to say thank you to them, and literature for every single fireman that was there in RCF. So pray that God uses that and touches hearts through it as well. As I said, meetings that we had, and then camp doesn't finish there. After camp was over, there was lots of other activities. We did open air cinema outside there at the church, just put it on the wall. We've done that for the last few years and shown a Christian film. And again, some of the campers were able to come to that, the older ones. We had children's clubs outside that we do. We did outreach in two of the towns and put literature in every home there in those towns. We also went to the hospital where Ricardo has a service every Friday. And we had a number of the patients that came into that service. God has worked in that service in the past. Quite a number of people have come to know the Lord as their Savior through that service in the hospital on a Friday afternoon. The children's clubs that they have and the plazas. Of course, because it's nice weather out there, most of the time they can do that in open air work. And amazing to see children coming. And again, many of our campers that came to that. We thank God for the team we had and for their gifts and abilities. Pray for the kids we left behind. There's two boys, Ali and Miguel. We were told there were bad articles, if you know what that is here in Lisburn. One of the other boys, the boy here at the bottom, the grey T-shirt, his name was Raul. I was told he was worse than bad, and they didn't even want him to come to camp, some of the leaders, the Spanish leaders, because they said he was so bad. He was one of the nicest children was there. All these kids needed was a wee bit of love and attention, that's all, because they didn't get it at home. Pray for Ali and Miguel. We have their photographs up there, but pray for them, because they had to leave the night before camp was over to go to a social services camp the next day. And the two wee hard nuts at the beginning of camp, the tears were running down their face having to leave us. And our leaders were standing saying goodbye to them and hugging them and all the rest of it as they were going. The girls just loved these two boys because they were bad sometimes. But the girls stood with the tears running down their faces. And one of the Spanish leaders says, "What are they crying about? Sure, we should be glad to get rid of them." But those wee boys need Christ. I can't begin to tell you about the backgrounds they're from. They're very sad. But Ricardo and Sandra have opportunity of seeing these children, meeting with these children at their children's clubs during the week. The wee boy here in the white T-shirt, the second one on the bottom, his name is Diego. And Diego, he trusted the Lord at camp very clearly. The leader sent him away and said to him, "Come back in the morning if you really mean it." And he came back the next day and he said to him, "No, I really mean it. I really want to trust Christ." His father is a Buddhist. and took him to India after camp to a Buddhist retreat. Pray that God keeps his hand upon this wee boy. We're very thankful for what God is doing in the church there. Please pray for Lanzarote. One of our great burdens is that God will send someone to help us with the English-speaking ministry there. Because there's over 10,000 expats living on the island. And who's going to reach them? That God would send someone to tell them. We've got the church building, we've got the facilities, but we have no one to go and to reach these people for Christ. My time's away. Very quickly into Brazil. I was in Brazil again in the summer too with another team of us. There were just four of us there. And we had a fantastic time of being able to preach in churches. I was speaking at a missionary convention in the Hebron church. Some of you will remember Fred Orr in the church that he started with our missionaries way back 25 years ago. We're very thankful for the eBay schools there. So if you're on eBay buying anything, you pray for the wee school there in Manaus on the Amazon that God will bless in this school ministry. They're reaching 600 children every day with the gospel. Isn't that amazing? To see those kids standing up at 7:30 in the morning in assembly and reciting not just verses of scripture, but whole chapters of scripture. It's amazing that the word of God is getting in their hearts. The D'Souzas, the couple that are with us here, Mario and Vilma, they're in charge of those schools and they're doing a tremendous work. They said it's not a money-making thing. It's a mission field. That's why God called us to do this 25 years ago, to reach children for Christ. This is a little work that's very special to us. Way back years ago, whenever we were first out there, we went to this little place called Byron Nova. It's a very, very poor area in Manaus. And a little children's ministry there. And every year, many of you know I do a whole lot of ladies' meetings. And we sell some stuff before Christmas. And I know some of you have been at the Moms and Tots outreach here that we do. And we've sold stuff at it. And all the money goes, all the money normally goes to this particular work. Last year, there was more money raised than it put a kitchen in the church in Lanzarote. But this particular work here, to buy the children something for Christmas, because those kids have absolutely nothing. Look at that wee girl's face on the bottom. Just a little plastic doll she got, that's all. But the money we send out is about £1,000 a year, is able to buy them stuff for Christmas, buy them food parcels, buy them stuff through the year, buy clothes and shoes and food parcels through the year also for their families. So we're very thankful for this and for this particular ministry. And for the couple that run that, Sulamita and Cesar, who run that particular work there in Manaus. They'll be meeting in the afternoon. Whenever you're coming back for your service tonight, they'll be meeting there. Jose Carlos is our mission field leader out in Brazil. He's had a liver transplant about 15 years ago, but he's also had two stents put in just 2 weeks ago. He's waiting for a third stent to go in. Pray for him that the Lord will be with him. I haven't time to speak of these workers tonight. This is Altina and Eliane, who work in the public schools in Manaus. The two men there is George and Jonas. Jonas just graduated yesterday from Bible school, and that's Altina's son, and they work in the school ministry, in the public schools. Pray that God will bless them, encourage them, use them. We had opportunities of being in the public schools with them as well, and sharing in the schools in the mornings in the different classes. Hamundo Nanato is our mission representative in the market in Manaus. You see, this is the tourist market here in the top picture. We also have the meat market, the fish market, the vegetable market, the fruit market, right across the port of Manaus. And of course, all the boats there, you see them in the bottom picture, sharing the gospel. Every home crusade tracts, of course, that he gives out. And he's standing giving them out day by day by day from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m, every single day. God's using him. He's 76. Will you pray that God will send someone to help in this ministry? He hasn't been very well recently. His wife isn't very well. Pray that God continues to sustain him and help him and strengthen him day after day. Tom and Lucimar Geddes. Tom and Lucimar are here for 9 months of the year because they're waiting for Lucy's United Kingdom visa to come through. It's a 5-year process. It's frustrating for them, but yet the work continues to go on in Brazil. She sits at the kitchen table in Lurgan and she coordinates 137 teachers teaching the Bible lessons for her in the schools there in Rio Branco in Acre. Amazing to see what God is doing through that ministry. Many of you pray for Bill Woods. Bill, of course, has cancer, as many of you know. Just about 3 weeks ago, Bill had surgery on his jaw. They were hoping to put a steel plate in his jaw because of the cancer in the bone there. And they couldn't do that because it was an 8-hour surgery and he couldn't go under anesthetic for that long. So they, hope you're not squeamish, they opened the inside of his mouth and they scraped away what they could scrape away till they got good bone. And then they stitched him back up again. And last Saturday, he went off to Brazil. That's Bill. He's there for 3 weeks. He's coming home again in 2 weeks' time now. And he's starting a series of chemotherapy. Pray that God gives him strength to go on. He's done a tremendous work for God there in Brazil. Only eternity will ever reveal all that's been done. I haven't time to speak about these workers, but the top workers, Ageo and Hisa, are right in the middle of the jungle in a town called Feijó. They're working out to the community around them, but they're also working with this Indian tribe, bringing the gospel to the Indians. It's amazing to see. They sent me through a picture of three folk trusting the Lord as their Savior just recently. God's working in these tribes, and we thank God for it. As I talk about tribes in the Acri, I know that Samuel Putz and his wife Noebi, many of you probably know them, or you know his dad anyway, but many of you know Samuel and Noebi. They work with new tribes. Just now this weekend, they're traveling to an Indian tribe in the remote part of Acri in the jungle. Please pray for their protection, will you? I know they don't work with us, but we're great friends with them. They were with us in Manaus back in the summer. And they have no contact outside. There's no mobile phones. There's no internet. There's certainly no Facebook. They're remote. Pray that God keeps his hand upon them. There's the river rats, as we call them, who rob people. They see a white person. They think they've got money and so on. Pray for God's protection as they travel up the river and travel to this Indian tribe, and as they start a work there, that God will be with them and protect them. Fabio Mar and Marilene there in Labria, the work there is going for over 60 years now. There's about 450 in the church there. God is blessing that work. Pray for them. Again, our workers 4,000 miles from the Acre, over in the northeast of Brazil, as they serve the Lord there. We have many national pastors who are serving the Lord with us. We thank God for them. They know the language, the culture, the food, so on and so on. And they're able to serve the Lord with us. We're very thankful for all of these people in the northeast who are serving the Lord. Pastor Junior and Christina up in this top left-hand corner. Pastor Junior and Christina work in a place called Nisa Floresta. Again, they're not content with just one little work. Victor and I were over opening that new building back a few years ago. And so he's working to two different towns on either side of him. One of the towns that he started a meeting in was in a woman's house who was 100. She had just got saved, 100 years of age. And she has opened up her home for them to have a meeting in it. And now there's a whole work going on there, and someone has given them a piece of ground to build a church in that town. On the other side of Nisa Floresta, another town they've gone to start an outreach there, just with a handful of people, with a few children at the start, then a handful of people. Again, the council have given them a piece of ground there, the government, to build a church on. Amazing to see what God is doing in these towns. There's a town called San Jose, which is just beside it. Victor and I stayed in a hotel there once whenever we were opening the church in Nisa Floresta. They put us in this hotel. Well, you've never seen the like of it in your life. Your garages would be tidier and cleaner probably than what we stayed in. We walked in the door. Outside was this big pool. And Victor said, look at their swimming pool. It was a hole in the road with water in it. We went in and he said to me, do you really want to stay here? I said, well, we don't have any choice. It's only one night. But I tell you, I was looking around for the rats in it. It was so bad. But anyway, there's a new work starting there. San Jose, St. Joseph, pray for it. That God will bless in it in that town. And that we'll see many souls coming to Christ. I could talk all day. I told the young folk I didn't kiss the Blarney Stone or swallowed it twice. We're very thankful for what God is doing across the world. You're part of the work. As you pray for us and stand with us. You do an important, just as an important work as our missionaries do in the field. As you pray for us and support us in the work. Revive is a youth meeting we have in Lisburn in Coffee Inc. up Haslam's Lane. It's every other month. The next one's in November. And I was telling the young folk about it. We'd love to have them with us if they can come and join us for that. Do pray for Victor and Audrey as they continue to serve with us. For Karen and the boys and myself. And I just finish with this picture because it reminds us that night comes when no man can work. You see, for people across the street and across the world, time's running out. The suddenness of death, the tragedies around us, people that have never heard. I wonder this morning, as we said already, will we say, Lord, here am I, whatever I can do, wherever I can go, however I can serve you, Lord, here's my life afresh. Will you send someone? Maybe we need to answer that prayer and say, Lord, here am I. I'll go. May God bless us these few thoughts. There's an ACRI magazine out in the foyers. Please take one with you. It'll give you a wee bit more information about what's been happening. We also have our ACRI dinner coming up next Saturday night in the Congregational Church Hall over in Lisburn. There's still room at that if you'd like to come to that. There's leaflets on that. We have an autumn break in the Killyhevelin that we have every year, and there are a few rooms left at that as well. That's in November. There's a leaflet about that too. Please take the literature on both sides. I think they are. Take those with you as well today. Thank you for your prayers and for your support.